Welcome to Hellas Footy Podcast, episode 15. I'm your host, George. Let's get things started. Anthony, how are you?
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
Good, good, mate. Greg?
Very good, George. How are you?
Yeah, good, good, mate. Happy Australia Day.
Happy Australia Day, absolutely.
Stephen?
Oh, yes, I'm very happy. Yeah, very. We'll get into that later.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, yeah. Nathan's back, guys. Our bulk man. Happy Australia Day. How are you, mate?
Happy Australia Day, George. Thanks for having me on again.
Good, good stuff. Michael, happy Australia Day. How are you, man? Besides computer troubles.
Yeah, happy Australia Day to you. Rather being a big week for Greek football, need to get into it right away.
Perfect, perfect. And also, just a quick shout out. It was Anthony's birthday the other day. Happy 24th or 25th?
Yep.
24th birthday. So
thank you. Appreciate it.
There you go, mate. All right. So we'll get started because we've got a big show with heaps of information here. So all right. Round of matches. First one, Asteras 1, Larissa 0. Geronimo Barales goal. He's continuing his fine form there. I think he's leading goal scorer in Greece. In the 60th minute, got the winner. Bucket loads of yellow cards there. Michael, how did you see this, mate?
Great result.
It's
a great result. Great result for both sides, actually. Asteras are moving towards, you know, sealing a top six spot potentially. And then on AL's side, we lost on Gurias' birthday. So I'm happy.
Perfect. All right, we'll move.
But I want to say something about Asteras. Yeah. They play some nice football.
They do. Yeah.
And their coach is really underrated, Rasevac. I can imagine what he would do for a top five side.
And the good thing for them, with the impending signing of Mitroglou at Aris, it looks like Barales is going to be hanging about there. So that'll be a good boost for the club there itself. All right. Speaking of Aris, they got up 1-0 away from home to Apollon Smyrnis. A Nicholas Ioannou goal in the 18th minute was the winner there. Greg, did you manage to grab this game, mate?
I did. It was a good performance by Aris. They came out of the... they started really, really well. Got an early goal, which was well-deserved. Apollon came back into the game after that, but Aris was... They were too good. Their play through the midfield and going forward was fantastic. And Apollon look a little bit unlucky at times, but they just don't have that bite against the bigger teams.
Yeah, no, that's it. Yep. All right, move on then. Aris, obviously, with the big signing coming up there and a win.
Can't wait to see that.
Yes, it'll be good. Next up, Panathinaikos, 2-0 winners over Orphi, who have gone on a terrible run of form, and we're wondering... Anyway, we'll discuss that afterwards there. Goals to Schenkenfeld in the 32nd minute and Kampetsis late in the match in the 86th minute wrapped up the match. Anthony, how did you see this, birthday boy?
Yeah, I mean, thank you, Panathinaikos. They won on my birthday. But I knew that we were going to win this one. I'm not going to lie. Like Greg had said earlier, I mean, Olfi, they're not playing that well. So Panathinaikos kind of went in there, did their job. Highlight was Alexandropoulos and Kabedzis. As we know, JVS was in the stands there, so maybe we might see them in the national team after putting in a great performance. So overall, it was a dominant performance for Panathinaikos.
Yeah, which begs the question, and we'll ask a couple of the other guys, Orphi, you know, they've stuck solid with their coach there, but they've gone on a poor run. And, you know, for a club that's trying to do things and modernise themselves and keep up and try to stay within the top six, what's going on? Stephen, what do you reckon?
Well, yeah, with regards to off the pitch, they're doing a lot of good things in terms of like trying to promote the game in Greece and also trying to make things a bit more democratic, let's say, as opposed to everyone just arguing and not
getting
anything done.
They're a breath of fresh air, to be honest.
Yeah, they are. It's nice to see a bit of progressiveness in Greek football, but the problem is that they're just slipping away from that sixth place spot, and Asteras are really pulling away from the chasing pack now. So off you're going to have a big mountain to climb if they have any hope of trying to get a European place or get into the playoffs.
I'm wondering if they'll keep their coach, honestly.
Yeah, that's my... I mean, Greg, what do you reckon?
I think the coach has had a fair bit of opportunity to get the most out of the players. And even in the playoffs last season, they showed some very ordinary form there after a good start to the season. But their form has been pretty ordinary. And they haven't scored for five matches. The last goals were against Lamia. And especially in the last few games, like they haven't really shown much. Against Bulk, they were horrible at home. Volos got a pretty good victory over them in the cup during the week. And against even Panathinaikos, although they, you know, poor finishing, they should have made it 1-1 with Stakos. But overall, I think they need to do something different there, because I can't see things changing too much with the current coach.
Yeah, and they just, I think, well, Michael will touch on this. Well, Michael's, they bought a midfielder, I believe, a Dutch midfielder.
Striker.
Okay, yes. Cool. Okay, so that might help.
They play this 3-5-2 system. I think that's hurting them.
They look impotent in attack. They just, but it's always been the case with them. Even last season, once they hit the playoffs, they did well to get to the playoffs. But against big teams,
I think they just got their entire Morphe last season, because Astellas was chasing up, and I think they deserved that spot. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see how they go. Next up, Atromitos hosted Olympiakos, and Olympiakos got a 1-0 win with a 4 just before halftime. Bruma got the goal that separated the two teams. Now, I know there was a lot of talking points there from Atromitos and their 15 fans, but we'll focus on Olympiakos at this stage here. Stephen, how did you see it?
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to see us. I don't know, the 4-3-3 was kind of okay this game. I've been critical of it in the past because it's just so kind of, it makes us really flat, especially in the first half. But what I really like about this Olympiakos team now is when we're getting close to the end of the first half and weren't scoring like the first 8 games of the season in the first half, we always just score in added time in the first half to stop us from not scoring in the first half. And Bruma took that goal fairly well. It came out of nowhere. I remember like watching it. And I think
it was gifted to him. It's a gift. The bloody defender, you got a player right behind you, and you clear the bloody ball.
I mean, The defender should have done better, but that run, like how it's almost like the defender just, I don't know. There was no pre.
Yeah.
He didn't. Yeah. I almost feel like the defender just got there and he thought, all right, I'm here now. I'm trying to shepherd the ball. And then he's sitting there going, oh, should they go to VAR and trying to overturn it? I don't know. I thought it was a goal.
Yeah. And no, I thought so too.
Yeah.
Rab Chuk is really impressing me, man. Like, he's starting to look really decent for us. He's just really dynamic.
Speaking of impressive, Andrutsos, right back.
And I was going to say after that, Andrutsos, man, like, it's not his natural position. And I've had people say to me, look, he shouldn't be playing there because he should be playing in midfield. And I agree with them, but he's doing such a good job, and he's doing better than Draeger's done at all at right back, and Rafinha's kind of dropped off. So yeah, I'm happy with Andrutsos being there. And honestly, it gives it the kid game time, man, and he's talented.
Me personally, the way I see it here is he's knocked back a variety of loans. He's extended his time. He also extended his contract at Olympiakos, and he said multiple times, no, I want to stay at the club and fight for my position, which is fair enough. So yeah. I think somewhere in between all of that, him and Martins have had a conversation, and they're looking at maybe possibly converting him into a right back or making him into a more versatile player, which there's some people that are disappointed. I know Apple's disappointed because he rates him as a midfielder, and we all do. Yeah. But I mean, if a player wants to stay at a club and fight for his spot, and you can see how he has, and he wants to, and he's playing right back and he's playing well. It's not like he's being put there and he's having bad games and we're like, oh, look, we're just trying to fit a, you know, a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
He's playing well.
Martins he's willing to, he's seen that Andrutsos is so willing to play, and even if it is out of position. And I think he likes that about him.
And
he
wants
to be there and work hard. Yeah. And honestly, Barr should have been sent off. I couldn't believe like Barr didn't get sent off.
Yeah.
And it was Martins thought that too, because he took him off immediately after he got booked. And brought on Cissé after.
He brought on Cissé soon. Yeah, it was just like,
he lost his head. See, Barr lost his head, man.
He's the most calmest guy out there. He's never, On another note, for Atromitos, we just had the news this week that their owner, after 16 years, is going to pull the pin at the end of the season. Yeah, Spanos is gone. And amongst everything that he said in the report, he goes, oh, look, you know, my 16 years will be judged, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But the main thing at the bottom, he goes, I leave the club stable and in a financially in a good position. Now I'll go to Greg here with you, because I know you know you've been following them. They're one of the many teams that you enjoy watching. How do you think they're going to go without an owner, a stable owner?
Well, I think Spanos will actually only leave once a stable owner. I know he's done this before. He has said the same statement and not left because they couldn't find a stable owner to take over. So
that was only a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I think he's a smart enough man to have someone that's in a good position to take over the club, so that things can continue in a good way for Atromitos, because they've done some good things for Greek football in the last 5-7 years or so, if not 10 years. I think that's what's going to happen before he actually leaves.
Look, I hope if he does leave, we don't lose him to Greek football, because yeah, he's just one of those smart owners that does business in the right way and ensures that the club is successful within its own right and stays on the top echelon there of Greek football.
Absolutely. So,
yeah, if he does go, let's hope he grabs a club like Panionios or someone and, lifts them up to the back where they belong. All right, following match, Yanina hosted Volos and they went down 1-0 to them with a 14th-minute goal to Duvikas. I want to grab that one.
Probably should have been a nil or draw. It's a 50-50. I don't know if anyone has seen the penalty, but I thought it wasn't a penalty.
Yeah.
Otherwise, a pretty even game with probably Yanina just a little bit better and Volos playing on the counter attack. But at the end of the day, Volos got the penalty and scored that, and that was their only goal.
Yeah, that was a goal. Yeah. All right, moving on. Panathinaikos and Lamia had a nil or draw, so that didn't help either of their causes there. And the last match of the round, Balk hosting AEK Athens, and it was a 2-2 draw. So Chakov got the an early goal for AEK, which just before half time, Crespo equalised for the home side. Galanopoulos got an early second half goal, but in the 70th minute, Verinha got an equaliser, and that was that for the match. Athens. First up, yeah. How did you see that?
Yeah, I thought we put three good performances together, and then this one was one of our more disappointing performances. Not sure what to say. Like we didn't play well at all. I don't think AEK were probably the better team, but we'll take a draw.
It was pretty even with regards to the stats. I mean, you guys had more possession of the ball. More corners.
Yeah, but we didn't really create many chances. Yeah, both our goals came from a set piece and then
36 fouls.
Scrappy set piece and then an indirect free kick as well. So
how there wasn't a yellow card in this game, Greg? How did you see it, mate?
Very disappointed.
A red card, sorry, not a yellow card, because there was heaps of yellows. Very disappointed.
Very disappointed to come away with a draw in a game we should have won. We were very good. We took the lead. Within both times that we took the lead, we kind of sat back a little bit and allowed Balk back into the game. Yeah. And we gifted Balk this second goal through inexperience there with Latsi and Athanasiadis, the goalkeeper, which led to the Verinha goal. So, look, good signs that we've been able to be in positions to actually be winning these games. AEK needs to start winning derbies again. We've got a horrible, horrible record of derbies in the last 4 years. But some positives were the performances of Levi Garcia, who was magic in this game, and Kostas Galanopoulos, who absolutely owned the midfield battles in the game as well.
Yeah, they both played well.
Yeah. So that wraps up the round, guys. Now, if we look at the table here, Olympiakos sit up top on 48 points. AEK second. 37 points there, so there's an 11-point gap that's opened up there. Aris on 36, Balk on 36, Panathinaikos slowly doing the good thing for their club and their fans on 31, Asteras 27 points, that's a top six, and then the bottom half, Volos lead the charge there with 23 points, Tromitos 21, Ofi have slipped there to 19 with a minus 10 goal difference, which doesn't help at all there, Apollon 18 points, Bas 15, Panathinaikos 12, Larissa 8, and Lamia 7 there. All right, we'll jump on to Super League 2 and we'll go through the results there. So there was a few, there was a midweek matches and the round there. So Rodos 1-1 with Mathnaiki there. Goals to Batrovic for Mathnaiki, and Rodos equalised in the 33rd minute with a goal to Dorival. They had a player sent off early in the just after the goal there, Rodos, and Panathinaikos, sorry, couldn't unfortunately capitalize on that. Okay, Offi, the other Offi had a 2-2 draw with Karaiskakis there. Goals to Dino Papas for Karaiskakis, and Dalla Costa for Offi. Dumitsios for Karaiskakis, and an equaliser by Grini. All in the first half, those goals. Nothing in the second half there. Tricolor 1-0 over Apollon Larissa. Stamatis with the 53rd minute winner there for them. Xanthi had a 1-0 win over Ionikos. Kapnidis, 90th minute winner there for them. So good on them there. Levadiakos and Chania had a 1-1 draw. Chania got a goal in the 27th minute to Brambila, and a 77th minute equaliser to Liagas for Levadiakos. Had the points shared there. Where are we here? Apollon, and then over the weekend, sorry, Apollon Larissa went down 1-0 to Rodos. Away, Rodos had the away win, sorry, Fotis Georgiou with a 64th minute winner there. Chania again had a 1-1 draw away from home to Karaiskakis. Lavrik got a eighth minute penalty for Karaiskakis, and the 51st minute Diamantopoulos got an equaliser for Chania, and it stayed like that. Panathinaiki had a 2-0 win over Offi. Goals to Aravidis and Batrovic for Panathinaiki. Also noted that they both goals were scored after Offi had a player sent off there. We move on. Ergotelis went down 1-0 at home to Levadiakos. Levadiakos winner came in the 80th minute by Lucas Poleto. And last but not least, Ionikos and Tricolor had a 1-1 draw. For some reason, Tricolor, they're not showing who the goal scorer is, but Ionikos had a 90th minute penalty by Mateus Castro put away there to get the draw. Table in the second division there. Levadiakos lead on 7 points. Panathinaiki are on 5 with Tricolor. Rodos on 5 as well. Xanthi in 5th spot with 4 points. Ionikos 6th with 4 points. Karaiskakis are on 2 points. Chania 2 points. Offi 2 points. Apollon Larissa 1 point. Doxa haven't played a game yet. They're on 0 points. And Ergotelis, who have played 2 games, are also on 0 points there. So to wrap up for that, for the second division. Now, we also had some cup matches that we'll go through. The Greek Cup finally started. Now, if we remember, the Greek Cup is only going to be played by Super League clubs, which doesn't...
Another great epom.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I mean, if the second division has started, just get the second division. They're still traveling all around Greece. Anyway, I don't know. The clown's running the show. When's the voting date? 15th? Valentine's Day.
19th of February.
Oh, 19th? Or 19th, yeah. 19th, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's hopefully we see them as their last.
I don't want to get started how they made the decision to not include the Super League 2 clubs. It's just a disgrace. I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of this. Anyway, yeah. All right, well, we'll go through the Greek Cup for whatever it is, matches. Pas Yannina and Atromitos had a 2-2 draw. Stefanos Strungis scored the first goal for Atromitos. Eleftheriadis got the penalty for Yannina, went into halftime, 1-0. Goutas, who has been linked with a move away from them, I believe, to AEK, was it?
Yeah.
He got a 44th minute, sorry, goal for Atromitos. And Jean-Baptiste Leo equalised. So that went 2-2 getting that one there. AEK, 2-0 winners over Apollon. Zemanski and Levy Garcia got a late goal. Greg, how did you see this one, mate, just quickly?
Good performance from AEK. Yeah, well-deserved win. Garcia showing his class again, but overall it was good. Good, a nice rotation of players by Jimenez as well.
Yeah, good stuff. Olympiacos, 3-0 winners away from home against Panathinaikos. Bruma got the first goal in the 20th minute. Vruse, 65th minute. And Sisse in the 85th minute. Just like AEK, there was a huge rotation of players within the team there. And even Avram Papadopoulos got himself a rare start in the team. Just quickly, Steve, how did you see this one?
More comfortable than the league game against Panathinaikos, in all honesty. It was nice to see. I think it was because at that point there was a lot of rotation, you know, good goals from Bruma, Fruzai and Sisse. And just to quickly make a note, because of the recent news, it's the last game that Hilal Soudani has played for the club, because he came on as a substitute. And obviously, yes, we'll get into it later, but he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. Soudani's gone. I mean, look, he wasn't getting much game time, and he lit up the Croatian league a few years ago. So, goes back, I guess, to where he was comfortable. All right, moving on. Balk 5-0 winners, a drubbing there over Larissa. Tsolis got to a goal in the 10th minute, 23rd minute. Grmanchik, 47th minute. Igerson, 55th minute. And Tsolis got his hat trick in the 74th minute. Nice bit of rotation there within the side as well. We'll start with Michael there. Now, that was Larissa's, I believe, the coach.
The swan song for Tatsis, yes.
After his 11th hour reprieval, yep. I think the 5-0 drubbing was,
So that's because we had no replacement ready. That's why. That's why he was kept on. You can clearly see it.
Surprise, Kugias didn't. Kugs didn't sit there and take the team. Although he probably does in the background.
He's done it before. Don't be surprised if he does take over a coach during the match and just coaches the team. Yeah.
You know, Frank Lampard's available now.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I'd rather take back Chris Coleman.
That's Chris Coleman. Jeez, that's right. I don't know what to think.
Anyway, he coached us back in the second division.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, when he had like his 5 minutes of fame at Fulham, and that got him a worldwide, got him gigs left, right, and centre all over Europe. Good on him. Ethan, 5-0. You're happy with another hat-trick to the young superstar.
Yeah, completely dominant performance. And happy he got a hat-trick again.
Yeah.
What a superstar.
Yeah, he's
Solara.
He's 19 years old, but he just looks like, physically, he just looks like a man. Like, he's so, he's a player and a half, that kid. So, good on him there. All right, Volos, 2-0 winners over Orfi, which continues, their bad thing there. Nicolas Martinez got the opener there for Volos, and Hierasimos Mitoglou wrapped it up in the 85th minute there. Last but not least, Aris, 2-0 winners over Asteras in the cup as well. So Mancini and Facundo Bertoglio got the goals there in the second half to do the job over Asteras. Now, they're just the first leg matches, so I believe it's going to go to the second leg. Does anyone know when the second leg is going to?
Next week.
Next week? All right, perfect. Okay, there you go. All right, so that's a wrap-up of Super League, Super League 2, and the Cup. Let's hit the transfer market here. Michael, the world's greatest transfer news. You ready?
World's greatest transfer news from me, yes.
The world's greatest Greek football transfer news in English.
The Wojnarowski of Greek football.
That's it.
Adrian Wojnarowski.
That's it. all right, Michael the Polak, let's go.
You won't believe it. My phone just started playing music for some reason.
Oh, boy.
Anyways, let's get into it. I'm going to start with Panathinaikos. Since Nico's not here, Andoni, you're going to take over him.
Yeah.
So you got some interesting news that popped up last week. So we're going to first start off with Mendoza, the Colombian winger, who has a verbal agreement in place. However, a Colombian club, America de Cali, are battling with Panathinaikos. They want him as well. However, it's which team can meet the demands of Armion, which is 400,000 euros. Dreossi wants to bring him in now. Alafuzos has given him the consent to do it. We don't know what's going to happen. The reports are saying this is the crucial week. What do you think of that?
I mean, okay, if I'm being honest, if Alafuzos has given Dreossi the green light, I think we'll actually be able to get it done. Even though I'm critical of Alafuzos, I think when he wants to get something done, he'll use that Nobel Prize winning mind and he'll kind of reach into the wallet, you know, spend that 400K, bring in Mendoza, and let's just get rid of Hadžiovanis. Keep him on the bench.
And speaking of things getting done, he did that with Mauricio after Xavi Roca, the old technical director, who I don't want to get started on.
Yeah, me neither.
Was saying that he was saying that Mauricio's too old. And he went and signed Antonito with a, what was it? What did he have?
Tuberculosis.
Right. He had that diagnosis and the club didn't even know. No one knows how he passed the medical and he signed. And he was 32, Antonito, and Mauricio's 31. And Roca says that he's old. That's why Alafuzo said, I'm stepping in. I'm going to take over your duties and get this done. And the next couple of days, Roca and Poyatos were sacked. Speaking of which, those two, they did not rate Alexandropoulos. They wanted him to find a new club. And now you see him now. Mm-hmm. Now the next phenomenon for Panathinaikos. And that assist against Orfi, that's what we needed for the ethnic gear. Yeah. What do you think he'll provide, Andoni?
Oh, Alexandropoulos to the ethnic gear?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, the thing is, he's just something else. I mean, he loves to go forward. He loves to just press. He loves to go back. I mean, the kid does everything. I mean, he loves to take risks. And like I was saying in the group chat earlier, I feel like we don't see that much from young Greek players in the league, especially midfielders. They're always, you know, sideways pass merchants, passing back. They're not really taking risks. And we saw him against Olfi pull off that back heel. This is something that you would see from a young player in Spain or the Dutch league. So I think Alexandropoulos is the way forward for the Ethniki. And I'm disappointed that Roca and Poyatos actually didn't even rate him in the first place. It's terrible, terrible.
Yeah, and it's all that because of that Spanish phenomenon they had. I don't know what they were trying to build. Alafuzo saw it and he just said, I'm cutting the ties. Speaking of which, another youngster, Gabadzis, offered a new contract last night. There's now reports saying he's agreed. He's accepted it until 2023 with improved earnings, because he said last week that if he doesn't get the enough opportunities, he will leave. So Bologna gave his opportunities. Look at him. Got an assist, 2 goals in the past 3 games. Bologna expressed he wants him to stay. He told Dreossi to get it done right now, and he did. You see them two, Bologna and Dreossi, great communication. Giving consent whenever. What do you think, Andoni?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, I'm actually surprised that things turned around so quickly with Gabadzis, because I remember, a week or two, we were talking about, you know, Gabadzis is pretty much on his way out. We've got Ioannidis. But yeah, I'm glad he's been given his chances. Bologna did a good job by benching Makeda, because, I mean, come on, we need to be honest. Makeda's attitude has been terrible. Gabadzis has been showing what it takes to be a player for Panathinaikos. He's been playing, scoring. And like you said, Michael, I mean, Dreossi and Bologna actually have great communication, and they're doing a lot better than I thought, honestly, because I thought Dreossi was just going to be another, you know, revolving door of a technical director. But so far, it's been doing pretty well.
It was not like the past with Donis and Roca and Donis and Dabizas. I don't want to get into it because there was a little bit of a dispute between those two and the other technical directors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last one is Ioannidis. Apparently on Total Football, a sports talk show that's on Open TV, they said that Ioannidis wants to return to Panathinaikos after 6 months joining Inter. I read more into it. Nothing exists. Nikos Bargakis, I think that's his name. He's an insider for Panathinaikos. And he revealed that there's nothing happening. There's nothing there at all. He did say that Vaianidis, in his loan with St. Truiden, and he's still there, that I think the first month he was there, he got injured. So that's why he's not been featuring that much. And the technical director over there said in an interview with Gazeta that he's working hard, trying to get up to full fitness. He didn't reveal any injury. So we don't know what's going on there. But I can tell you right now, Vaianidis to Panathinaikos, not happening. Why would he come back after signing a four-year deal with Inter? Conte even said he wants to loan him out, get him up to shape, and try and see if he's up to it in the upcoming preseason after this season is over. So that's all there is. That's all that's needs to be said. That is all the Panathinaikos news. Next, we'll go with Palk. Ethan, a bomb happened out of nowhere. Shinji Kagawa. What do you think?
Yeah, it's an impressive signing, I think. Hopefully he's a class above most of the others in the Greek Super League, but we'll wait and see, because he did play in the Spanish second division. There has been some criticism about him coming back to going to Greece, so we'll see how it goes, but I think it'll be a good signing.
Criticism from people that know nothing about our league. Yeah,
exactly.
And when somehow they got pressed, then they never hit back. That's when you need to shut up.
The whole criticism was just based on the fact that they were upset that he didn't go back to Japan.
Go to Japan, exactly.
But the thing is, he can play for another 5 years in Europe or wherever he wants to go. 31. And at 38, 39 years old, a top Japanese club would still pick him up.
Take him, exactly.
So he knows the deal. Well, I mean, he's been in Europe. I let the guy extend his career in Europe, and he hasn't signed for Lamia or something. He's actually signed for a decent club in Greece. So
for a title contender.
It was just stupid. He was just ignorant. And then he's that people. I don't even want to. You know what? Let's go on. Yeah. They don't deserve anything.
Yeah. Look, that's when you know that they know nothing and they should be more educated.
It's
that's
just
all.
Ignorant.
Yeah. Anyway, so with Kagawa, so what happened is Garcia gave him a phone call and persuaded him to come to Palk. An 18-month contract. We don't know about his earnings. He's coming to Thessaloniki today to be announced, undergo his medical, and sign his contract. But Ethan, what do you think Kagawa will provide for Palk? How do you see him fitting in? Because considering he can play the number 10 role, that's his original position, and also the 8 role, and partner up with Schwab, who can be that box-to-box midfielder. What do you think? How do you see him fit in the system?
I'd probably play in a 10 role, but I'd like to see him play alongside Schwab, because we need someone who can play with Schwab. So, I don't know. Interesting to see how Garcia plays him, yeah.
Was he playing, just out of curiosity, was he playing consistent football before he signed for Palk? Or?
Oh, yeah, he did.
He was a free agent in October.
Yeah, he was a free agent. Right? Though,
okay, so he's been a free agent since October. Yeah, okay.
But he was playing regularly for Real Zaragoza.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that was a ridiculous move for him, going to the Spanish second division, but that's another discussion.
Maybe.
But going to Palk is a big boost, not only for Palk, but for the Greek league too. We need someone that can broaden up our league.
Yeah,
we can all agree on that.
And you know what? And also tap into the Asian market as well, which, you know, getting away from those, the ones that were crying, the Asian market's big. So if you can tap into that market and get a bit of eyes on the Greek.
There were positive about it. There were a lot of, we had a lot of people come on that post and were very positive about Kagawa.
And that's
what's important, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, the last time a Greek club hit an Asian market was Panathinaikos when they signed a Japanese player. Forgot his name now. Yes.
Kajiyama, I remember him.
There was some young, I think, Korean guy that signed for Asteras, I think it was, a couple of years ago. Anyway, doesn't matter. He signed for the youth side. So.
Anyway,
Suzuki Honda, remember at Otomito? Yeah. Apparently,
that was non-existent. That was non-existent. Don't get me started on that. Yeah. And then he went off to Brazil.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, he went off to Brazil.
Oh.
I think for Botafogo. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on. Kagawa to Palk, good move, and a big boost for the Greek league. Nathan, you're very happy about that. Yep. Another signing happened on the same day. A Bosnian winger from FK Radnik, Vladimir Brodonjic. We don't know if there's a transfer fee involved. And looks like he's coming to Thessaloniki sometime this week to sign his contract. Any insight into the player? There's not much really known about him, but apparently he's one of the biggest prospects in Bosnia. If you look at the Balk team, they need wingers.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Yeah, and what do you think he'll provide, Brodonjic?
Yeah, I don't know much about him, but yeah, I don't think he'll be a starter straight away, but it's one for the future, I think, and we do lack wingers, so yeah, I think it's a good pickup.
Well, we'll see how he goes. Maybe he'll get some game time sometime in the second half of the season, or maybe he'll be, if he doesn't get up to shape, he'll be loaned out somewhere.
Yeah, I'd say
but
so.
We'll see how that goes. So that's Balk news done. Aris, another bomb, another one that we really demanded to happen. Kostas Mitroglou, just from nowhere, reached a verbal agreement with Aris, I believe on Friday, and Theodoros Karipidis revealed on Instagram, done deal with Mitroglou in the Aris colors. He will be signing an 18-month contract. He'll be earning 700,000 euros per year. But for this second half of the season, it'll be just 300,000 euros. So he's terminated his contract with Marseille. He's in Thessaloniki, undergoing medical today, and he'll be announced. George, start with you.
Yeah, I'm devastated. Nah, look, I'm happy for him because he's going to Aris, and he's going to be an automatic starter at the club, assuming he's fit and healthy. He's playing every minute possible then. I wanted him at Olympiacos. Reality is at Olympiacos, he probably wouldn't have been a starter and he would have been part of a rotation there with all the strikers. And I think, you know, at 31 for him and his career, the way it's gone the last few years, I think he needs to go to a club essentially like when he was at Panionios, where he did his loan there, and Atromitos, I think, is the time as well. You build a team around him, the guy shines. And that, even at Olympia, of course, when the team was built around him, the guy absolutely shines, man. The guy oozes class. He did that little highlight package where, and even Benfica have done a little highlight package and showed goals of him. His goals are just different level, so, and he thinks differently, he acts differently, he does things differently. It's a great pickup for Aris. I'll be cheering him on. Yeah, good on him.
They've got the quality.
They got the wingers.
Bruno Gamma. Yeah.
They've got all they need. That loan guy as well from West Ham. So they've got some talent there that can give him the service that he requires. It's just a matter to see if he's actually fit or not.
Andoni, what do you think about this one?
Honestly, I love the move. Outside looking in, I mean, Aris, you know, early on, you know, up until January, they're looking pretty good, contending for the title. Mitroglou, I mean, going over there is going to be really good because he's going to be on a team that's, you know, upper half of the table. He's going to be able to resurrect his career somewhat. But, like, the number one thing that I really like is that these Greek players, we're going to get into another one later, are coming back to Greece to, you know, perhaps finish their careers or, you know, resurrect whatever they've got left. And I think that's actually a pretty big positive. Fantastic. Because, what George is saying, you know, Benfica, Marseille, all these teams – these players are playing for some big clubs, and I think it's going to generate some, you know, maybe a little buzz. Bit of buzz here with these players coming back. So overall, I think this is a great move for Aris, honestly.
Greg, how many goals do you think Mitroglou will score?
I reckon he's going to get at least, provided he's fit and ready to, you know, get in there, I reckon a good 7 goals, if not more. They create a lot of chances, and a lot of those chances go begging. So, I tell you, if Fifth Jid, this was still there, he would have gone double digits.
Imagine Gamma on one side, Fifth Jid, this and what the other, and Mitro blew up.
Yeah.
What a team, man.
That would be lethal. Very lethal. Yeah. But there was rumors, I should say, about Fefa did this about returning to Addis, but that was non-existent.
He probably will now. He's seen Mitroglou going there. He's like, right. I'm going.
He's getting paid in gold Mercedes Benzes and gold bullions, man. That guy ain't leaving the Middle East. He's got it too good there. They love him. And he's smashing it there as well. So it's not like he's, you know, he's one of the main.
He's not just picking up a wage and then going home. He's actually playing.
No, he's playing, scoring goals.
He's scoring, assisting. He's
Yeah. He's a great player.
He should be still in the FNP.
Yeah, I hope the cliche people are listening who keep bagging Fifth Jitters for whatever reason. The guy's a good player.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, continue on, Mike.
Anyways, Musa Altomari appeared in the news again. They tried to negotiate a loan deal with his club, Louvain. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm probably still butchering it. Anyways, they tried to negotiate a loan deal with a purchase option. Right now, that's been on ice. So, look, but we don't know if the Mitroglou transfer is done once it's announced. It looks like they'll go in for Altomari again and possibly Geronimo Barrales, because Christian Lopez has got an offer from Real Oviedo. We don't know if he's accepted it or he's declined it. We will wait for more developments this week. That is all the artist news. We'll go into Ajax next. Greg Gutas, the Atlanta center back, talks for a pre-contract agreement to join next season. Looks like he's agreed for a 3-year contract. Yep. And
fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know if that's been confirmed on the player side. I'm going to look into it more. However, the Ajax are also looking in bringing Alexandros Paras from Panathinaikos. Very, very strange, because he's had 6 professional appearances and he's 22. He's a left back. And Haris is from Atromitos for pre-contract as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Haris?
Look, yeah. I don't mind Haris, but I haven't heard anything about that. He's okay. I don't mind him. I actually was watching him when he was at Bulk and thought he was a bit unlucky to be on the outer there. I'd be surprised if that happens, to be honest. But let's see what happens.
It came to me as a shock as well when I saw Harris's name in talk for a pre-contract. I'm not sure if that's gone further. We'll wait and see.
Yeah.
Next. Vranjes has hit out the club on Instagram because he called someone and, you know, yeah, whatever, did not want him at the club for some reason. He put up an Instagram story on there. That's not much to talk about. We know about his attitude and all that. It's not altogether for him. It's like another WADA type player.
Yes.
Another bomb here, but it's not, I don't know how you feel about this one, Greg. It's Marco Levaya rejected a 4-year contract extension. Levaya and his agent sat at the table with Kone, the new technical director. He proposed the 1 million euro plus bonus per year. It was apparently short of his demands. Levaya is demanding 1.4 million euros. We don't know if he'll be demoted from the squad completely, or they'll just let his contract run out at the end of the season. How do you feel about this one?
My mail is that his time at Ajax is all but done now. Look, it's a weird one with Levaya. A lot of the fans loved him and for the skill that he brought to the team. But the truth of the matter is his form this year has been incredibly inconsistent. I have real mixed feelings about this because I think Levaya is someone you'd want to have on your squad, but for... And, you know, the amount of money that this is all going to come down to, it's a bit of a shame. But he hasn't been consistent enough. And we've got,
you've got players that can fill in.
Exactly, yeah. My only concern would be that they're taking center midfield position because if you take out Mandalos, usually when Mandalos wasn't playing, Levaya would fill in there. And we don't, if Levaya out... doesn't leave a huge amount of options there with that. But look, he's always been playing on the left wing with Ajax.
Yeah.
It's always been that situation. And look, most of the time he's been a bit ordinary there, and there's been occasional games where he's been really good. So it's probably best we part ways, and we'd look to get someone that can play a little bit better than Livaya that comes into the squad in the future.
I don't know who's going to pay 1.4 for him a season if those demands. There was a rumour, funny enough. Well, I mean, there always are. Olympiacos are sniffing about, but
always,
yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I can't see. No,
sorry, Greg. No, he's not a bad player. For that, but no. I feel like we've got. Yeah.
It's curious for me to hear what you guys would say about that, because I mean, I've seen him it's been 4 or 5 years in our colours, and it's interesting to hear that feedback, because I know his style of play I don't think would suit Olympiacos. You guys play a quick flowing game, and he's a slow player, I'll give you that much.
I don't dislike the player. I think he's a decent player, but I think,
like him.
I think at the 1.4 million type of wage, I need someone, you know. I want it, like, if he's playing as a striker, I want prolific goals from him. I want a prolific, you know, a goal scorer for that kind of money. He's not worth it. It's simple. You know, I think he's a 800. He's a top level. He's one of those players that I think is just under the top 5%, top 5-10% of the Greek Super League players.
That's right, because he struggled a bit in the big games. Like, he's had some good moments, but a lot of the times in derbies, he hasn't been able to step up at all.
I think in the, you know, in the underneath that top 10% of players, he's in that top, you know, 20% maybe. But for the type of wages he's after, I mean, they're El Arabi type style. I don't think even El Arabi's even on that kind of money. And, you know, anyway, nah, it's too much.
El Arabi, I think, is on 1.5 million.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, but
because he's the top striker, and he had an offer from Qatar, and Olympiacos quickly went in, tied him down a new contract.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Smart move. Yeah.
Smart move. Anyway, let's go on.
Yeah. Anyways, so speaking of more contract news, Nelson Oliveira still yet to be proposed a new contract. Looks like he wants 1 million euros a season. Does he deserve it?
Well, if Livaya's not going to take it, I think that Oliveira will probably take it. Look, again, it comes down to what we can get to replace him. He's been okay, but, you know, the goals have definitely not been coming in. I was, I've had an up and down sort of relationship in what the way I've rated Oliveira. Look, I didn't rate him when he first started. Then he started playing a lot better and scoring goals. At the moment, he's not really scoring goals, but he's definitely trying 110%. So I think unless we've got, you know, someone else to look for and bring in someone else, I'd say give him the million and sign him up. And
if you had to sign, maybe two years, not too long. If you had to sign one or the other, I'd be looking at Oliveira, to be quite honest.
You know, I've never been so so it's almost in the, like, not a clear-cut answer on these two players, because Oliveira, like I said, he tries really hard, but the goals aren't coming in at the moment. And Livaya has had some moments where he's come in and saved us some games, but he hasn't shown that consistency all the time. No. So that's probably telling you need to find better players to replace these type of players. So we'll see what happens in the future.
So we move on. Oleg Danchenko, the new right back coming in from Rubin Kazan. He'll be coming in today in Athens. And he's the best right back in the Russian Premier League. You impressed?
I'm impressed with that, yeah. You mentioned him to me during the week, and the truth is I've never seen this guy play, but with the feedback I've had come through with in regards to this player, we need it. So I can't wait to see him play.
We'll see how he goes. And of course, we're going to, you know, make a little bit of a dialogue here. So we're going to go with Olympiacos news. And this was Sokratis, another bomb, the big one. I'm going to first mention about Ike's announcement. They put up an announcement that they had talks with Sokratis. They said that they offered 1 million euros to him plus bonuses. And he never responded. And they withdraw their interest. Who knows if there's
looks like
any
one,
truth
looks
to
like
it.
1 million in bonuses is like the roof at AEK.
Yeah.
It's obviously the budget.
It's a budget, yeah.
So
anyway, go on, sorry.
The news broke out late Saturday evening. Sokratis agreed to join Olympiacos after 13 years abroad, playing for Genoa, Milan, Werder Bremen, Borussia Dortmund, and most recently with Arsenal, who just terminated his contract. So he's joining. He's joined Olympiacos. He's been announced. He's in the Olympiacos colours until 2023. He'll be earning 1.2 million euros plus bonuses per season. Steve, you happy?
Yeah, I'm ecstatic, mate. I mean, what a steal. You know, I know, I say what you want about his form the last season and a half, like 18 months at Arsenal, and the fact that he kind of got ostracized from the squad a tad. But man, to get Sogradis on a free transfer, are you kidding? Like, this is the sort of thing you do on FIFA, like when you get a financial takeover and then you buy like all the big Greek players like Manolas, Sogradis, Mitroglou, Mish, you know, like what a player, you know. And I thought he was, like, when the English media first picked up on Sogradis probably leaving Arsenal, they were all like lazily kind of linking him with Olympiacos before anything concrete came about. And I just thought, oh no, there's no way. Like, Olympiacos is not going to fork out like the fee for him. He'll probably go back to Ike, if anything. And there were links with Fenerbahce, obviously, because Ozil has gone there now. It was links with Genoa. And then the news cropped up over the weekend. I just thought, no way. This I can't believe this is actually happening. And lo and behold, he's here. He's in the shirt. Marinakis put the pen down in front of him, made him sign the contract.
How funny was that, eh?
Marinakis just looked very happy with himself.
Check out my Twitter. Done. If you haven't seen the guy, check out my Twitter. They shake hands and he just drops a pen in front of him, points at the paperwork, and then puts his hands back and goes, sign the thing.
Man, but no, honestly, Michael, it's a massive signing for us. Like, there's a lot of competition now at centre-back. I've said to you guys before the pod started, I think this is going to be a way of bringing Sogradis in and eventually maybe one of the three centre-backs in Cissé, Ba or Semedo leaving in the summer, I think. But yeah,
it'll be Cissé.
Massive signing. Probably Cissé. Semedo, I wouldn't put it past him to leave as well for what he'd see as bigger and better things. But yeah, I'm ecstatic, mate. It's a massive, massive statement signing from us.
I'm going to get a rival's perspective here. Ethan, what do you think of Sogradis joining Olympiacos?
Yeah, I think it's a top signing for Olympiacos. Wish we got him at Balk, but that was never going to happen. It's a good move for him to come back to Greece, I think. Better than going to like a club in Turkey. And I think it'll give a big boost to Greek football as well. So, yeah, I think it's a good, positive move.
Greg, what about you?
The bastard went to Olympiacos. What can I say? Very disappointed.
I'm sorry, Greg. He said he'd never go back to Greece. That's the thing. He said 2 years ago he'd never go back to Greece.
He declared he wants to retire in China.
Oh, wow. His other statement was when he comes back to Greece, Ayak will have first word on his return. And, well, that didn't end up being true. He's the player we desperately needed in our defensive situation. And, he goes to Olympiacos, who, you know, they've got four world-class centre-backs or very good centre-backs. So it just makes Olympiacos that much harder again to dwindle into their 11-point lead. So not happy with Papastathopoulos and not happy seeing Olympiacos get even better.
And Manolas liking the post as well.
People are now saying, bring him back to eventually.
Mykonos
FC is the centre back pairing out there.
You know, what about Andoni? What do you think of Sokratis joining Olympiacos?
You know what? Honestly, I gotta give them props. That was a great signing. Marinakis with the pen. That was pretty cool. That was a meme right there. But honestly, rivalry aside, that was a good business. It was smart. I'm disappointed in Sokratis myself. I mean, one day he's a Panathinaikos supporter, then he loves Ayek, then, you know, he goes to Olympiacos. So, I mean, come on, it's a disaster.
Channeling is in a Lazaros.
Yeah, Lazaro. Yeah, exactly.
soon it'll be Balk, then Aris, then, you know, all of them.
I made a joke. Next year, you'll probably be on Panathinaikos at this point. But no, honestly, like business-wise and everything, like rivalry aside, that was a very good move by Olympiacos. And like Greg said, it made it that much harder to beat them.
But if you get my thoughts on it, I think Sokratis to Ike would have been the perfect setting. You know, since they've got the new stadium that's set to open and we're operating next season, it would have been the perfect occasion for him to come back.
Something there, because the wage offer was
something's going on at Ike. Something is really
It's nothing, man. It's what's always been going on. It's Manu Sanibu's offering the X amount of money.
I don't think it was the money, Greg, though. It's,
you reckon?
Well, 1 million, 1.2 mil. I mean, he's a multi anyway, and he terminated his contract at Arsenal, so he probably got paid out another mil there, or whatever he would have got. And, I don't think it's a money thing. It's too similar.
I think it makes more sense. But I mean, yeah, I think
I personally reckon he didn't go to AIC because he doesn't want to go there and not fail. But I mean, at Olympia, of course, he can just slide into the team and just become a cog in the wheel. At AIC, he has to be the main man, and. And Ajax have had defensive issues as well there. So, you know, he's thinking to himself, am I going to be partnering up with one of these guys that, you know, I'm going to have to do all the work for him. You know, maybe I want to go to a time in my career where I just want to be, just join a club where I just have to do my own thing and everything falls into place.
You know, I'm on Greg's side here. I honestly think it was a money thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's a money thing.
Couple hundred grand.
I think, how much did Ike offer him? 1 million?
1 mil plus bonuses. Yeah.
And then Olympiakos offered him what?
1.2.
Oh, 1.2.
I think it was even 1.5 people were saying.
Yeah, 1.2 billion plus bonuses that reach 1.5 million. Okay. Yeah.
Sure. Well, you know, the way Melisanidis is, I mean, the guy, he pinches his pennies a lot. So,
yeah,
I mean,
Melisanidis probably smokes those Romeo Juliet cigars that are probably worth 500 bucks a pop. Yeah. Oh, my lager.
So, yeah.
Anyway, hey, guys, just one thing I did notice that. With Papastathopoulos signing with Olympiakos, look, I'm happy for him, and you know, I'm happy with the club. It's good to get a Greek international back into the team. But he updated his social media account and put all the Olympiakos photos up and all that, blah, blah, blah. Funnily enough, on his bio, he said, footballer for Olympiakos and Ethniki Ομάδα.
Oh.
So, ooh. What is that?
Oh, my God.
Now, I just saw that earlier. I saw that this morning, Australian time, and I'm like, considering the guy sat there and he updated his whole profile there and he put football and didn't write it, linked the Ethniki Ομάδα account to it as well.
Interesting.
Look, yeah. Massive speculation here right now, but is it, you know, I've come back to Greece. I'm going to give it, you know, give my all to Greece, to the Greek football, and maybe get back into the team. Who knows?
Yeah.
This is just massive speculation right here, guys. But for someone that went about, now maybe it was his management team, and for all we know, it could have been his management team that just updated his Twitter account, but he'd have the final say what goes up there. So just something to ponder, something that just grabbed my eye there. So, food for thought.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, we'll see what happens in the long run.
Yeah, that's it.
So, that's the Sokratis news. The other Olympiakos news is Hilal Sundani, out of nowhere, terminated his contract. Looks like he's going back to Croatia. I don't think that's a big loss at all.
No, he was in Croatia. So
he was never the same after his knee injury. But anyways, so Hugo Kuipers remains in the team. So he's not going to go anywhere. And Maxi Lavera has interest from Argentinian club Racing. I assume it'll be a loan deal, and there's not really much to say about them. So that's all the news about the big clubs. For the rest of the clubs, interesting moves, especially for Bazianina. Yuri Lodigan, back in Greece, has joined the Epirotes. He first began his career in Greece with Xanthi, and then he was sold. He had that one good season with Xanthi, and he was sold for like 1 million euros to Zenit, where he stayed for six seasons.
Was supposed to play for Ethniki, remember? Ethniki wanted him, and then all of a sudden the Russians came in, and I think he got a bonus for playing anyway.
I think so, yeah. And he had a brief loan spell with Olympiakos, and as you said, George, he switched allegiances to Russia. But overall, it's a fantastic pickup by Bazianina, I must say.
Yeah.
To Orfi, Dutch striker Luke Castaños joins the Cretans on a 2.5-year deal. So he's accompanied by his compatriots, De Guzman and Boy Vardaman. Panathinaikos lining up a move for Nikos Karelis. There's not been any development since. It's gone cold. To my club, the biggest circus in Greece, AEL, former Cameroonian international striker Benjamin Mukanjo will be leading the attack. He's already in Larissa, passed his medical tests, and will officially sign a 1.5-year contract until 2022. Nikola Yakimovsky is reportedly close on returning to the club. He's currently on the books at Serie C side, that's in Italy, Monopoly. That's the name. He's the personal choice. He's a personal choice of the new coach, Gianluca Festa. Another player linked to the club is Moldovan right back, Dinu Grgur. I'm not impressed with it.
Could be as good as a Moldovan left back.
The Moldovan revolution continues in the Greek Super League.
Gourias is following that path. That's definite. And finally, we finish off with Lamia. They made another decent addition here. Canadian centre-back Mandreka James, or James Mandreka. Any Canadian Greek listeners, correct me on that one. Joins on loan from Danish club Midtjylland. That wraps up all the transfer news from last week. Michael, bombs, bombs, bombs.
Michael, that's a bomb wrap in itself, mate. Well done. Yeah, look, some big news. Great to see some more Greeks coming back to Greek football that aren't washed up yet. So we can only hope that they'll do well. All right. We've got the round of football coming up.
Today.
It starts, yeah. So we'll quickly go through a couple of the big matches here. So Orfi play Asteras. Aris against Larissa. Now, Mitroglou isn't going to be playing. He hasn't signed yet. So, yeah. So let's see if Aris can get a win there, or if Larissa... Is this going to be Festa's first match?
Second game.
Second match, okay. Volos host Panathinaikos. So Panathinaikos, this will be a decent test for Panathinaikos. See how they
go. They're without Alexandropoulos.
Antoni, anything?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, it's going to be a test, especially with Alexandropoulos or Kourbelis. We'll see what the team's made of.
Yep. Then we've got AEK versus Bas. Greg, that should be hopefully...
Should win that game,
yeah. Lamia host Apollon. Panetolikos host Atromitos. And probably the big match, well, the biggest match of the round is Olympiakos hosting Balk. Eighth, what are you expecting, mate?
Yeah, I'm worried, but hopefully come away with at least a draw.
Yeah. Steve?
I'm nervous too. These games have been so cagey the last few seasons, and Balk got that away win against us last season at the death with that header.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, it could go either way this game.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you guys. It's very cagey. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. So that's the midweek matches there. And then following that, we have another round of matches. Larissa hosts Volos, Asteras, Aris, Panathinaikos, Lamia, Ofi, AEK, PAOK Panathinaikos, Yanina Tromitos, and Apollon host Olympiakos over the weekend. So we'll discuss all those matches in next week's podcast. All right, guys, we've got a few questions here as well for the podcast as we come towards the end of it there. So if you want to shoot us a question, HellasFootyPod, use the hashtag, send us a DM, use our handle, email us, do a video call, whatever works, huh? But we love getting the questions here, guys. So we'll go to the first one here, Dimitri Stamoulis. He's actually sent us two messages. So at Dimitri_Stamps. I remember you guys were talking about fan bases that are friendly with each other, but no one really mentioned Panathinaikos and Real Madrid. From what I know, they have respect for each other as European royalty. Panathinaikos in basketball and Real Madrid in football. Does anyone else know this? Antoni.
Yeah, I actually have seen the I guess partnership or friendship between Panathinaikos and Real Madrid, but I don't know exactly where it comes from. I'm going to have to do some research and find out where it stems from, but I know that it does exist.
Okay, there you go. I've never heard of this one. Yeah, so Dimitri, Antoni's on the case. Greg, you look bemused. Have you heard about it?
I just remember that back in the, I think it was the 90s, when Davos Suko came playing for he was playing for Real Madrid, and they were playing Olympiakos, and he came and he was showing off Panathinaikos gear to the media and stuff. So I don't know if that started everything, but it just brings back a lot of flashbacks.
That's when all his Croatian mates was a Vlahovic and all that, whatever that was, is that?
Yes, they were at Panathinaikos as well.
There was a whole group of Croatian internationals. Yeah. Panathinaikos at the time. All right. The other question that Dimitri has sent us, read this week that aside from the champion, the rest will be playing in the European Conference League qualifiers. Wanted to get your thoughts on the tournament. Do you think it could be a good stepping stone for Greek clubs back in European glory? Michael, what do you reckon? First of all, that's correct, eh? Besides the champion, all the rest of the teams go into that European conference, and we have no teams teams in the Europa League.
Yeah, just to base things on the Super League table, it's actually first champion to the Champions League, second and third to the Conference League. The cup winner is also in the Conference League. So if the top three under cup final, it goes to the fourth place team.
Yeah.
So just to be clear on that for everyone. If it's a good stepping stone for us, we'll have to wait and see. I think we will do well in the Conference League at our Greek clubs. Maybe not, but we'll have to wait and see. It starts next season.
Look, I'm the same. I mean, we're going to be playing against nations and leagues that are poor, just like ours for whatever reason, you know. So, the prestige isn't going to be there, unfortunately. That's the only thing.
But the fantastic news has come in. The European Super League will not be happening.
Until the rumors come up again in like 3 years or so.
They come up every month.
It's cyclical, that thing. But anyway. All right. So thanks for those questions, Dimitri. Yeah. Look, I think the Conference League will be decent for Greek clubs to hopefully win some points, get some wins in some European competition, and hopefully build off that so we can get ourselves back into our, 20 years ago when we had many teams playing Champions League football, but that's a long way away from that this stage, unfortunately. Greg, this question here from Mike at SMFC Mike. This was put to us a few weeks ago now. We've just completely we've just missed it, unfortunately, but I've kept it here, Mike, for you. Question topic, explain to the audience what the famous saying "Efige Nikta" means.
Efige Nikta means it's a player or a coach that left during the night and no one saw them. No one saw them leave and probably won't see them again. So it's a saying that happens when a coach or a player just has a dummy spit and leaves overnight, and no one saw it coming. Really, pretty much.
Yeah, just someone that's just had a mad dummy spit and just disappeared and. No one saw it coming, and then they just wiped it, and something like what was his name? I've had a mind blank now. The Offie coach back in the day, the Italian Gattuso.
Oh, Gattuso.
he had a mad. I mean, he didn't do a runner, but he had a mad dummy spit there. So, thanks for that, Mike. Hopefully, we've explained it. If we haven't, Mike, shoot us the answer, please, mate, and we'll get it out there. All right, from Timmy Season Pappas at TSIMISZN. Straight up question, will Kagawa flop? He's got in brackets, yes. Look, he's a big, you look at the big, big, audacious kind of signings that Bulk have done over the years with the likes of Berbatov and all that, they haven't gone good. I think if they just have this massive expectation that he's going to come in and just start bombing assists and goals left, right and center, then, then you're going to have problems there. But I think if he's brought into the team right, I don't think he'll be a flop. Ethan, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think we have to be realistic. Like, he's not going to,
I think he'll add to your side.
Goals and heaps of assists. But, I think it can be a quality.
I think
can make us better. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, I mean, time will tell. Yeah, it's an 18-month deal. Wages aren't discussed, but I think if he's just come in and just slowly integrate into the side this season with a view to maybe kicking on next year. All right, Nikos, at Nikos_Kos1. One for the Panathinaikos boys. Any update on Mendoza? Antoni?
So Michael had just hit on it earlier in the transfer news that this week is going to be pretty pretty important. Yes. Yeah, pretty crucial.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got one question here from a account Andy at 8NDREAZ. Question for the podcast. In your opinion, what can Greek teams do to compete at a high level in Europe, like that of Portuguese clubs like Porto or Shakhtar of Ukraine? Keep up the great work. Thanks, Andy. Steve, what do you reckon?
First and foremost, it's learning how to invest properly into your infrastructure. It's all from the ground up. It's infrastructure, man. Like, you know, the Portuguese clubs are famed for their youth academies, and the constant amount of players coming in is just mental. And not only that, they've just, yeah, like I said, they just invested their money wiser than the Greek league. I think that's why they're in a place where they are. Like they are comfortably the sixth best league in Europe for that reason. And they're able to keep their players for a certain amount of time. They bring in massive, massive fees. I mean, what did Diaz go to City for? Like,
what, 55 million euros?
Yeah,
and Bruno Fernandes to Manchester United,
exactly
80 million euros.
Carl Felix to Atletico Madrid, 100 and something. Yeah,
120 million.
He's one of the highest fees of all time, and that's something that the Greek league just hasn't ever got.
They're going to sell Samaris for €1 million. They're going to get $1 million for somebody. These Portuguese clubs. I mean, Michael, go on. Sorry, man.
Oh, look. I mean, Steve pretty much said it. And also in our Christmas New Year special, Greg also touched on it as well. Like these clubs bring in an average of like 200 million euros a year from all the Portuguese clubs. And that goes all with the investment in their youth and their infrastructure as well. They know how to develop their players, whereas us, we don't even know how to describe it. We don't even know how to describe our youth setup. We've got the talent, but we don't know how to produce them.
I mean, earlier before, they were talking about the young Panathinaikos player, where the previous management wanted to, they saw nothing in his future, and the current management are like, I just think that two things: our infrastructure is pathetic in Greece, bar a few clubs. Infrastructure going down to the lower levels is just pathetic. That needs to be sorted, and we genuinely don't have enough proper vision for young talent in Greece. We just discard them as quickly as we see them.
Also, their managers as well. The boom of Portuguese managers. Look, Pedro Martins is, you know, he's a Portuguese manager. He's a top manager. He's in Greece. You know,
he came from a mid-table club in Portugal. Greg.
Yeah.
You've all made some great points. It's the extra point I wanted to make was, as you mentioned about the youth players and how they manage them. Look at the two Panathinaikos players. They were both sold for a combined total of less than 400,000, I think. That would never happen in Portugal.
No.
And a debate I had outside of this circle, which was probably about 12 months ago, about whether we need big teams in Greece. And when I did some research on this, when you go to the Portuguese leagues, the big clubs in Portugal all have B teams. And all these great talents they have playing in these teams, which helps them nurture through to the top league. So I think that's probably one area on top of everything that we've talked about, which having a Pauk, Olympiakos, AEK, Panathinaikos, and maybe even an Aris B team, or I don't know, Aris 50-50. But if these clubs had a B team in, say, in the second division of the football league, that could probably help us identify these talents even earlier and sell them for more.
Yep, agree.
100%.
Yep.
100%. Or any club that wants a B team should be able to have a B team, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they have to play. You know, they can have them. So look, you're going to be able to go up to like the third division. Like Gama Ethnic is the highest you're going to go. So we don't have Olympiacos or AEK or whatever winning the second division.
That's right. Look, but in Portugal they can win the second division, but they can't get promoted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just think for the, you know, like Greece has a whole heap of problems with integrity within football anyway. So you can imagine if one of those teams won the second division, the shitstorm.
It's never looked forward to the future either.
But
it's,
I mean, if, just but the thing is also, and I mean, I've said this before with Greg's, with the teams that have B sides, if you have a B side, an Olympiacos B side going out to play against a, you know, a Ramath Nicky side that has never been in the top division would be fantastic. A regional side in Greece that is punching above its weight, and the Olympiacos B side goes there. It brings money into the game. It brings eyes into the game. It gives clubs an opportunity to see these young talent that probably doesn't, that's never left the Chorio. There's so much that could be gained from this, and it would cost zero money because I'm sure these big clubs will be more than happy to have, you know, Olympiacos has a huge squad. And a lot of these guys don't get a run. So it'd be simple just to say, listen, you're all going to go into the B side. We're going to, yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's just one of those bemusing things there, but that's Greek football for you. All right. Last but not least, Mike, South Melbourne FC. Mike, consider discussing the various platforms to watch Super League live outside of Greece. For example, is anyone using the Nova Sports online service? So, yeah, look, there's Go Greek TV, there's Nova Sports, there's a whole heap of platforms out there. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. We've reached out to them to promote them, but unfortunately, the last email that I sent to one of those platforms that Greg's child is a...
Sorry.
No, you're all right, mate. All right. The last time I reached out to one of these platforms that promotes Greek football, I got a reply in some Slavic language. So go figure. And, you know, all their promotions are all in Greek and they do highlights of all the Greek games. So I send them a quick email saying, let's try to do a partnership. And I get some reply in some Slavic language that I just thought, okay, well, you know, this is, yeah, so... but yeah, look, there's plenty out there. Nova Sports is probably one of the better ones, yeah, but with Go Greek TV as well. So sorry, guys. Look, on our side, we've tried. We keep trying. But yeah, there's only a few platforms out there. All right, fellas, great podcast again. Yep. Pumped out some big news. Yeah. Some big news this week, the last few days. And there's another few more days left of transfer activity. So...
Until February 1st, I'm going to be loaded.
There's going to be, you know, look, there's a few Greek players out there like Samaris who does nothing at Benfica. So Benfica are probably going to slap $1 million on him and someone's going to pay for him, hopefully. But there's a few Greeks out there that aren't doing much. So hopefully they move to
make their return as well.
Yeah, make their return. All right, guys, thanks for that. Beautiful. We'll do it all again next week.
Thanks, George.
See you later. Cheers, all right, bye-bye.